Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right. Well, as I said last week, and I've said for a couple of weeks, man, I have really been looking forward to this series because I love it when we talk about families. As a pastor, I'm really in the life change business. Like, I do what I do because I want to see God change lives. I want to see people fall in love with Him and have their lives radically transformed. And when you teach on families, it's like you get like a 3-for-1 special. It's amazing. Because when you get to teach people God's plan for family, God gets to then change the husband or the wife or the kids or maybe all of them. And what you do is you get to be a part of generational change. Like, we can actually begin to see the kids change and the grandkids change and the grandkids' kids change. And so I love being a part of this. And so if you're here today, man, I applaud you. I thank you for being here. I'm so excited about this. And I hope you're just ready to be open and to hear what God has to say to you and what He wants to do through you, because it can be very, very powerful. And I want to just go ahead and say right up top, the sermon is for everyone. The series is for everyone. You're either currently a part of a family, or you want a family, you're dreaming about a family. This sermon can help everyone. The series can help everyone. I'm going to go ahead and tell you today, today's sermon is an intro. This is a 4-week series, and to get the most out of it, I'm going to ask you to try to be here all 4 weeks. I understand some people travel, and so we also put the sermons online on our website, so I'd love you to check that out, because quite possibly when we're done today, you're going to actually have more questions than answers, because my goal is not to solve anything today. My goal is to kind of present a foundation, and then over the next 3 weeks, we're going to get a lot more specific. So really thrilled you're here. I always have to make a disclaimer when we talk about families, and for those of you that know me well, this is not a shocking disclaimer, but as our church has been blessed and grown, many people don't know me as well, so I have to make this disclaimer. I am not a perfect father. I am not a perfect husband. I'm not a perfect man. I do not have a perfect family. My kids are definitely not perfect. My wife is perfect, but everybody else is kind of, so that's why she wears this shirt that says flawless all the time. I'm like, how arrogant are you? Flawless. Whatever. I'll pay for that one. But really, here's why I have to make that disclaimer, right? Because starting today and for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about some things that are going to be difficult. We're going to be talking about some things where God's going to really challenge you to change the way you interact with each other, and to change the way you speak to each other, and to change the way you even think. And if I'm teaching you these things and you have this crutch of, well, he's just the pastor and his family's perfect, so of course he can do it, like, it gives you an out, right? And so I really have to show you, like, we're just like you. We're not perfect. Now, we've been showing a promo for the last couple of weeks, right? And we really like the promo. And the promo, it does make my wife and my kids look pretty great, pretty perfect, right? In fact, if you haven't seen the promo, we're going to go ahead and roll it for you now, all right? This is the promo we've been showing for the last couple of weeks. Check it out.
Hey, Wellspring Church. I'm here with our boys, David, Jacob, and Jonathan. Jacob, did you want to say hi?
Hi, Wellspring.
And we are here to invite you to a brand new series we have coming up here at Wellspring Church called Picture Perfect Family. It begins on January 24th. So we'd love for you to join us for this new series. David?
Please join us at Wellspring Church January 24th for our brand new series, Picture Perfect Family.
Oh, they look so cute, right? Oh, so precious. They just sit there with smiles on their faces. No, not at all. Not at all. Now, with my wife's permission, I want to show you a behind-the-scenes video. I want to show you what it took to create that 45-second-long video. All right? Roll it.
Coming up on January 24th, called Picture Perfect Family. We are so excited about this new series. Trey has amazing... They decided to draw on themselves with
I did not
highlighter in the car.
So that doesn't go.
Let's have a house. Hey, sit down. We don't need no cameras.
What is that? Let's see feel this today.
I thought I brought his boots. No.
At the very end of the day.
But hey,
go
tackle.
Whoa!
No. Hey.
Oh, she did perfect point.
Probably not whenever I'm really watching
it. Can I see it?
Nope.
Let's have a house!
Hey, hey, oh, no. Work unless you're snapping a picture. Y'all don't want.
Oh, did you get hurt?
Don't use that. Hey, boys, don't mess with
and
the camera.
Go. See me?
Go.
Yeah. Don't jump on the couch.
Hey.
Don't jump on the couch.
What?
Does everybody's kids have this much trouble just sitting? They just need them to sit.
A lot of energy. They are blessings from God. They are blessings from God. They are blessings from God. So my family, not perfect. Your family is not perfect, but I bet you have a picture in your mind of what that perfect family looks like. We all do. We all have this little idyllic thing we imagine in our minds. In fact, go there now. Picture your either your current family and how you wish it were better, how you're kind of tired of your family and you're ready for that new family. Students, if you're here, single people, if you're here, you're still a part of a family. You know, we all kind of have a picture, right, of what this perfect family looks like. And like this picture, like they never fight, everybody gets along. You have family nights and they work out. You have family meals and everybody sits there calmly and enjoys the meal and they don't throw things at each other. We all kind of have this idea of this perfect picture, right? And I want you to picture what your perfect family looks like, because that picture is really important, because that picture is driving decisions you don't even know about. And so really, the entire point of this series, what we're going to spend 4 weeks talking about, is that picture you have in your head and asking this question: does your picture match God's picture? Does the picture you have in your mind match the picture on God's heart for family? Because here's what I know. If your picture doesn't match God's picture, when you get your picture, when you achieve your picture, it will not deliver, it will not satisfy, it will not be what you imagined it to be. I mean, most of us have experiences. You probably grew up, or maybe you did, just waiting for the one, trying to find the one. When I find the one, everything will be okay. I can't make my relationships work because I haven't found the one. Then you found the one, and you married the one. And after a week, you realized the one had the same problems everybody else had. And the one was supposed to solve everything, but the one didn't solve everything. So you thought, I know, we need another one. I've got the one, we need another one. If we just have a kid, if we just have a cute little cuddly willy baby, if we just have a baby, everything will be better. And everyone in the room that's ever had a baby just laughs and laughs and laughs. So then, because we're insane, our thought is, I know the problem, we don't have enough babies. We just need more babies. If we just get more babies, everything will be okay. Or when they get older, when the kids get old enough to change themselves and to feed themselves, that's when everything gets better. It does get a lot better at that point. I'm not going to lie. It's a lot better. But for some people, you're just waiting for them to be old enough to play sports or old enough to leave. That's mine. Just old enough to leave. Just leave. Just leave. I love them so much, but I'm going to love them in somebody else's house so much better. Just leave. Some of you are like, I don't think I can have a pastor like that. Others are like, amen. Yes. Yes. He said it. So glad he said it. But no, you have this picture, right? And you've attained some portions of the picture, right? And it never worked. It didn't satisfy like you wanted to, and it never will until you can say yes to this question, until you can answer, does your picture match God's picture? Here's why. God created family. He designed it. He has a plan for family. And you're never going to find the peace, the contentment, the satisfaction, the joy, all those words, all those things that we wrap up in our families and our kids and our parents and our brothers and our sisters, these are the people that are supposed to bring all those things to you. And God can do that through them. But only when your picture, when your ideal, when your goal, when your plan for family matches his and until it dies. Never going to achieve all those things, all those hopes, all those wishes you have until your picture matches his picture. But guess what? You are here. And for the starting today and for the next 3 weeks, it's a four-week series, we are going to answer the question, what is God's picture? What is God's plan for family? And the way we do that today is we're going to kind of begin with a bit of an intro. And we're going to turn to a man named Joshua and to a man named Solomon. These were two leaders in the Old Testament. These were two men who followed God. And the two of them together have something to say to us that I think really lays a perfect foundation for family. As I said, we're not going to solve everything today. In fact, we're going to get pretty broad today. We're going to get specific starting next week, but today is a broad foundation. As I said earlier, today is for everyone. If you're currently just in your family, but you haven't started your own family, please don't check out today or for any of the couple the next 4 weeks. Because students, let me help you. You get the shot right now to be smarter than your parents. You think you are now, you're not, but you get a shot right now to lay a foundation in your heart for how you're going to begin your family, right? And then in a couple of weeks, your mom's going to say something, and you can say, Mom, does your picture match God's picture? And when she throws something at you, don't blame me. But it'll be fun, right? So don't check out, right? Lean in and listen to this, because what Joshua has to say, and what Solomon has to say, has the potential and has the power to change the trajectory, not only of your life, but of your entire family. And what they say is so simple. What they say is so clear. But what they say is so difficult to do. And we're going to find out why. So we're going to turn to Joshua first. Joshua was a leader of the nation of Israel. And he helped lead them from Egypt to the promised land. You probably heard of Moses, right? Moses was the guy with the beard, came down with the Ten Commandments, played by Charlton Heston, right? That was Moses. Joshua was his right-hand man. Joshua had been assisting him in leadership. And right before the nation of Israel is going to go into the promised land, God kind of taps Moses on the shoulder and says, hey, buddy, your time's up. You're not going to do this, but I've picked Joshua. Joshua's going to lead them into their next step. And so Joshua's the man who actually leads the nation of Israel into the promised land. He leads them as they drive out all the other nations as they conquer. He leads them into one of their greatest periods of prosperity they've ever had. And near the end of his life, he gives a speech because he knows he's about to die, and he's kind of trying to remind them of all the things that have happened, and he's really trying to leave them in the best possible position. And what he does at the very end of this speech is he speaks directly to the question we're going to ask today, and he clearly presents to us what God's picture is for family. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Joshua chapter 24. If not, it's going to be up on the screen just like always. And here's what Joshua says as he's got this assembly together. He's giving them all these things. He's reminded them everything that God's done. And then, almost as an aside, he says, now, hey, really more than anything else, you've got to make some decisions about your family. You've got to decide who and what you're going to be and who and what you're going to follow. In essence, he's saying, you've got to decide whose picture matters the most. Here's what he says, starting in Joshua 24, starting in verse 14. He says, fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. He's talking to the nation of Israel. And he says, you need to fear the Lord. And you need to serve him wholeheartedly. Now, we hear that in 21st century language. We think fear the Lord. Am I supposed to be scared of him? Like, why should I be afraid? But that's not really what he means. What he means is you should have a sense of reverence, a sense of awe when you're around the Lord. Now, that sounds weird until you realize every one of us in the room has done that many times. If you've ever been in a room with someone who's ahead of you in business or someone who's like a hero of you, like a sports hero, like maybe you're here and maybe you met Cam Newton one day, which would just be awful, but whatever. Good for you. There. I'll do my sermon on why he's the worst later. But if you love him, that's great for you. Just be wrong about it. That's fine. That's fine. Just support evil. That's good. Have at it. No. Anyway. you're around a sports hero, you're around a, maybe you met a movie star, maybe you met a famous author, and anyway, like, you're just kind of giddy, like, there's a sense of awe around them, and so you don't interrupt them when they talk, you kind of let them finish. If they ask you for a seat, like, you get up and you give them yours. If they want something to drink, you just go get it without even asking, right? Because you're in awe of them. You respect them. And what Josh was really saying is, that's the way you should feel towards God. You should hold him in awe. There should be a reverence around your relationship with God. When God says jump, you should say how high, not why. That's what he's saying. Now, in order for that to be possible, the nation of Israel and us have to make some choices. Here's what he says next. He says, put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. He says, put away your idols. An idol was something that they worshipped instead of God, that they thought could deliver what they wanted. And you're sitting here thinking, Trey, I don't have any idols in my house. I'm good. So don't have to worry about that. But that's wrong. Think back to your picture. Think back to the perfect family picture. And really look at it and think about what's in the center. What drives your decisions? What does it all revolve around? Because unless the center is filled with Jesus, you have an idol or idols in your life. And what Joshua's trying to say, he's saying, look, if you want to have the proper relationship with God, you've got to get rid of those idols. You've got to get rid of the other things you're building your life around, because whatever is in the center of your picture is what is driving your decisions. It's what you're trying to please. Now, to try to put this in a little more context, I want to help you right now, right? I want you to think back about that picture, and I want you to ask yourself this question. What's at the center of your family picture? What is it? What's at the center? Now, here are some examples. Please don't throw anything. These are just examples of what certain people have at the center of their family picture. Number one, many people have mom right at the center. It's all about mom. Don't upset mom. Whatever mom wants, go ask your mom. Just listen to mom. Does mom want me to do that? Now, see, when mom is the center of your family, especially when you marry somebody else, it's really hard to notice that. So men, ask your wives if mom is the center of your life. They'll tell you the truth. They'll quickly tell you. If you had a long fight a month or two ago over the holidays about what you wanted to do and what mom wanted you to do. Oh, guys, you guys are, I'm gonna insult everyone, so just join me. Loosen up, right? This isn't just about moms. Dads are next, so calm down. But for some people, moms drive everything. Moms are the center. And moms are great. Moms are amazing. I love moms. But they're terrible gods because they can't deliver on what you want. Next family god, dad. See, I told you. I told you I was going to get both, so chill out. For some of you, dad's right at the center. You are still making every decision you make, every dollar you make, every time your kid does something well, you're doing it all to please dad. And you're just living for that day. Dad hugs you and says, I'm proud of you. And tells you you're doing a great job. That's great. Dad's great. He's a terrible God. He's just lousy at it. So some people, mom's a sinner. Some people, dad's a sinner. For other people, money is a sinner. Money is at the center of your family. You make all your decisions based on money. How much can you get? For some of us, it's how quickly can we spend it. But money is a driver. Money, some of you have money as your God and your spouse doesn't, and that's why you fight so much. Because the reason you work so hard and the reason you're not home at night is because you're making more money. Because in your mind, the more money you have, the more safe you'll be, the more secure you'll be, and because that's the center of your family. That's what you're trying to serve. You're trying to serve money. And your spouse has a different God. Your spouse has something different in her circle or different in his circle. And so you're talking past each other. You miss it. She complains or he complains because you're not home for dinner. And you're saying, but I was closing a deal. I made all this money. Look what I did. Now, here's the problem when you put money as the center. You tend to want to get it. And you tend to want to hold it. You never want to spend it. When money's the God, the only way you feel good is when you're getting more. So if you and your spouse have lots of conversations and they want to do things, and your first response is, well, that's silly. That's too much money. Have a question. Have a conversation about, well, is it? Or am I afraid of giving up a little bit of my God? Am I afraid of giving up a little bit of what's giving me peace and security? Because it never has, it never will. The only thing that works with money is getting more of it. That's it. All right, next one. For some people, it's peace. Peace is your family God. Peace is at the center of your family. Now, not real peace, because that would require real conversations. But just fake peace, you know? Just don't talk about it. Don't acknowledge it. Pretend like it doesn't exist. We just have to look right for other people. It has to look good. We're never going to talk about what happened at Christmas. You know, if anyone ever does try to bring it up, everybody else is like, what are you doing? Stop talking about that. That's going to cause something bad. And so, you know, nothing ever happens, but everything looks okay on the surface, and that's the goal. The goal is peace. For some people, they're crazy. The kids are the center of the family. It's all about the kids. It's all revolves around the kids. Every decision you make, everything you do is all about the kids. Are the kids happy? Are the kids doing well? And, you know, what this turns into is, well, I didn't play well in football, but maybe my kid can play well in football, and I can achieve my dreams through my kid. Or I was never the gymnast I wanted to be. I didn't get to go to the Olympics. Maybe my daughter will go to the Olympics. So we're going to start doing this right now. For many families, the kids are the center. And for the vast majority of families, one day the kids will leave. And as I said before, amen. And if you've made the kids the center of your family, the center will leave and there'll be nothing left. Kids are great kids. They'll come back. They do, yes. When we need money, we come home. It's true. But are the kids the center? Last one, because I think you get the point. Recreation. For some people, man, the center of your family is just to have a good time. And you couch it in its family time. We're doing all these things together. But here's what's really happening. You're teaching your kids to worship at the altar of the waterway. You're teaching your kids to worship at the altar of travel sports. Don't throw anything. And here's the problem with any of these, right? The picture we have, the goal, is this family that grows up and they're close to each other and they have God at the center and it's a firm foundation. It's a family built on Jesus and all those things. But when we build our families on any of these things, we will not, please hear me, we will not achieve those results. And that is exactly what Joshua is trying to say. What he's really saying is he's saying, don't follow the pattern you learned. Don't settle for what you've seen. Pursue better, which is why he tells them, put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped, the things you were taught to worship, the things you learned growing up to worship. Put those away and serve the Lord alone. He's saying serve the Lord alone. But then he says this is really interesting because he probably knows how they're thinking. And so he kind of gets ahead of them and he says, but look, he says, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. He's saying, look, if you're not going to choose to serve God, that's fine. But go ahead and choose. Go ahead and make it public. Go ahead and decide what it is you're going to serve. And then just stop expecting God's results. Just settle for the results you have. Settle for the results you've seen. Settle for the results you've learned. That's what he says next. He says, choose whom today you will serve. And then he says, would you prefer the gods your ancestors served? Some of their parents. And he's saying, look, if your parents did a great job, or even if your parents did a lousy job, and you want the exact same results they got, you want the same family you have, well, then do what they did. But if you want better than you have, then you have to do differently than what they did. But he says, hey, just choose. Prefer the gods of your... If you prefer that, if you prefer those idols we just talked about, then keep doing what you're doing. Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live, your neighbors? Or you can just continue following the patterns you see down the street. You can continue living your life the exact same way your neighbors live. If you're not going to serve God, just choose today whom you're going to serve and embrace it. Just choose today who you're going to follow and deal with it. Understand that your kids are going to act just like your neighbor's kids if you're following the same picture. And quit complaining about it. You're just driving yourself crazy. You can't do the same thing as them and expect different results than them. If you want your kids to not call each other and laugh about what you said last week at dinner, you have to change. Otherwise, you're raising the kids the same thing you do. Because I know what y'all do. I've been around. Can you believe what Dad said? Can you believe what Mom said? Blah, 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 blah. Man, when we get older, we'll never do that. Yes, you will. That is exactly what you will do. And that's what Joshua's trying to say. He's saying, look, if you want different, you got to be different. If you want different, you got to act different. If you do the same things, you will get the very same results. And again, if you're happy with those, by all means, keep doing what you're doing. But if you'd like better, if you'd like more, if you'd like different, Joshua says, decide today what you will do. You can choose to follow culture. You can choose to follow what you've been taught. Or, here's what Joshua says, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Here's what he means. God is first. Above Mom, above Dad, above my friends, above my neighbors, I will seek to serve God and follow his plan and his path first, before anything else. And Joshua knows that's going to be difficult because we have been so ingrained in our culture and the way we were raised. We have things we do. We have things that we just take for granted. We have things that we assume are right. And what he's really trying to say is, look, you have to hold everything up to me. You have to hold everything and every decision and every idea and put it up against what I say and test it. In fact, that's what King Solomon says. Where we're going to leave Joshua and pick up, because King Solomon picks right up on this very issue. King Solomon, the Bible says, is one of the wisest men who ever lived. And he wrote a book, he wrote several books, but the book we're going to look at today is a book called the Book of Proverbs. And it's a book of wise sayings and wisdom that we can apply to our life. And in Proverbs chapter 3, what he says is basically the extension of how to say that we will serve the Lord. He explains what it looks like. And I grew up Baptist. I was taught these verses like from as young as I can remember. You've probably heard them 1,000 times. So here's what I want you to do. As I read these verses, I want you to really think about how your family would feel and look and act differently if this was your standard. If this was your mantra, if this was your idea for every single interaction you have in your family, every decision you make about priorities, every decision you make about time, every decision you make about what you're going to do here and there, every decision you make about how you're going to discipline, every decision you make about who your child can date, every single decision you make was filtered through what Joshua says, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. We're not going to take our cues from culture. We're not even going to take our cues from our parents, even though they did a great job. We're going to take our cues from God and God alone. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. What does that look like? Here's what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. So simple. I was taught this my entire life. But think about the differences that you would have, think about the different decisions you would have made this week. This week. If instead of leaning on your own, see, leaning, I learned it, lean not on your own understanding. Instead of depending on your own understanding, instead of depending on what you think is best, instead of depending on what your neighbor thinks is best, instead of depending on what Aunt Sally thinks is best, what if in that moment you have trusted in the Lord with all your heart? And said, God, this doesn't make any sense to me, but your way is better than my way. This is what you want, I'll do it. It's not what my mom wants. It's not going to get me more money. It's certainly not putting the kids at the center. But God, I put you at the center, and this is what your word says I am supposed to do in this situation. How would your life and your family be different this week if you put away the idols? If you put away the excuses, if you put away your own understanding, and simply trusted the Lord with all your heart, and trusted that his way is better than your way, what different decisions would you have made this week? And how would that have changed your entire family, and you never even know it. What would you have done differently? See, King Solomon's not done. He actually tells us how to do this. He doesn't just say, trust in the Lord. Here's what he says next. He says, seek his will in all you do. That means go to him and ask him, hey, what do you want me to do here? How do you want me to do this? How should I parent here? What decision should we make here? Should I date this guy? Should I take this job? Oh, but it's a good job and it pays so well, and all my friends say I should do it, God. Should I even ask you about it? See, that's why we got to flip it in our heads. We have to seek his will in all we do. And when that happens, watch what Solomon promises. Watch what he says God will do. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. He will show you what to do. He will show you how to discipline your teenager because you need it. He will show you which job to take. He will show you how you should prioritize your weekends. He will show you how many activities are too many activities for your kids. He will show you if that one is the right one. He will show you these things if we simply seek his will in all we do, because God loves you and because God has a plan for your life, and he has a path that he has designed for you to take. And what he wants for you is to follow that path. He wanted it so badly that he sacrificed his own son to make it possible for you to follow. He sent his son to die on a cross so that you could be forgiven for your sins. And then he resurrected his son as a picture to you that your life can be resurrected as well. And that there is a hope and a future for you. So why on earth would we follow these other things? Why on earth would we follow these other examples? Why on earth would we follow these other idols when the God of the universe has said and shown that he loves you completely, he knows the future, and he wants to guide you into it. He wants to give you the family your heart desires. And that will only happen when you declare, I'm not going to follow culture. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And what that looks like is I'm going to trust in him with all my heart. I'm not going to depend on my understanding. I'm going to seek his will in all I do. And I'm going to trust him to show me which path to take. In other words, I'm going to begin to bring my picture in line with God's picture, because God's picture is best. So, to kind of summarize, kind of wrap up for today, I want to give you a statement, kind of the bottom line for today, and it's something I want you to think about this week, and it's something I want you to try to apply this week, and I want you to begin asking the question of how you can do this. What needs to change in your life? What steps do you need to take to make this phrase a reality? What steps do you need to take to begin to bring your picture in line with God's picture? And don't worry, we're going to spend 3 weeks talking about this. As I said, today might cause more questions than answers. But the bottom line, what Joshua is teaching, what Solomon is teaching, and what Jesus came to make possible is this. If we want our home to match God's heart, we first must make our heart God's home. If we want our home to reflect God's heart, if we want our family to be all that God wants it to be, the very first step we must take is to make God the center of our lives and allow him to make his home in our hearts. It's what Joshua taught. It's what Solomon taught. And it's what Jesus came to make possible. And here's why this is so important. Here's why this matters. Honestly, some of you, this is why you're here today. Some of you are here today and you have been dreading this series more than anything else because you feel disqualified from ever having a picture-perfect family. Because of some situations that were completely out of your control, he left, she left, and you don't know what to do. Others of you, the problems are completely and totally of your own making. You left. You messed up. You blew it. and now you're trying to get back on the right track, and you follow Jesus, and you're going along with me, and you're saying, yeah, man, these people got to put Jesus at the center because he can make their families better. But my family, no. It's okay. God's given me a lot of blessings. But I know that my family will never be a picture-perfect family because of what I've done. I know there are people in here. I know there are single moms in here who feel that way. I know there are single dads in here who feel that way. I know there are families that have been blended together that feel that way. I know there are families that are breaking apart right now, and you feel that way. You feel like you are disqualified from having the picture-perfect family. So if you hear nothing else I've said today, please hear this. Please hear this and rest in this. Any family becomes a picture-perfect family when Jesus is at the center. Any family. Because Jesus' picture for your family has much more to do with position than it does with people. Jesus isn't up there saying, well, your picture can never be perfect, your family can never be perfect because you don't have this person, because you don't have this in it. The only thing he says you need is him. You put Jesus right at the center of your family. You let him guide the way, and you trust in his words that he delivered through his servant Paul, that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You love Jesus, you serve Jesus, and you rest, that any family becomes a picture-perfect family when Jesus is at the center. Don't you ever let anybody tell you you have been disqualified. Don't you let anybody tell you that your shot is gone. Don't you let anybody tell you that it won't work out because of what you've done. Don't you let anybody do that. Because Jesus is enough. He is enough. He's enough for you. And he is enough to make your family perfect as you put him in the center. How do we do that? That's what we're going to talk about for the next 3 weeks. We're going to talk about ourselves. We're going to talk about dating and marriage. We're going to talk about kids. We're going to get very specific. But don't miss the forest for the trees today. The question you need to wrestle with is simply this. Does your picture match God's picture? Because if we want our home to match God's heart, we first must make our heart God's home. We have to say, I surrender. You're in charge. As for me and my family, we're not going to look around. We're not going to follow what we see out here. We're going to look up here. We're going to follow the God of the universe. We're going to trust him with all our heart. We're not going to depend on our own understanding. We're going to seek his will in all we do, and we're going to trust that he's going to show us which path to take. How would your family be different right now if you just applied that? We're going to close today with a song, and as we sing this song, I want you to wrestle with this phrase. I want you to wrestle with this statement. I want you to wrestle with, do you want your home to match God's heart? Do you want God's best? Do you want God's picture? Because if you do, the very first step you have to take, you, not your spouse, not your kids, you, is we first must make our heart God's home. As we sing this song, ask God to show you the steps you need to take today to give him control, to put him first, and to allow him to lead you towards the picture perfect family he's had in mind forever. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We just love you so much. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you are so kind and gracious and powerful that you can make perfection out of any situation. Father, we thank you so much that any family can become a picture-perfect family when you are at the center. Father, I pray today that as our picture comes into focus, that we begin taking steps to move you closer and closer to the center, to revolving our entire lives and our entire families around you and serving you and following you. And as we do, Father, I pray for your blessings. I pray that we just see immediate results. And that we throw away our idols. And we pursue you. It's in your Son's amazing and holy and precious name we pray. Amen.